Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We're so glad that you're here today. Today I want to welcome my friend Marie. She and I have been friends for 27 years, and if any woman knows about grace in the wilderness, it's Marie Pritchett. Welcome, Marie.
Sharon, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so looking forward to the listeners hearing your story because I've lived it with you. We've been such good friends for all these years, and we've prayed each other through so many things, and God's been there through
yes, all of it,
and He has truly given us grace in our wilderness situations. Marie, would you like to share, as we first started our friendship, what that first meeting was like?
Of course I will. We made plans to go have lunch, and we ended up going to Red Lobster. And you and I both owned our own business and had planned to only meet there for about an hour. And we get there, and we talked, and we started crying. We were sharing stories of our kids. We were sharing stories of the things that were going on in our life. Everyone around us was seeing the tears and the laughing, and we ended up staying from about lunchtime until almost dinner time. And we looked around and we were looking at our watches and saying, oh my goodness, we got to get out of here. We left our offices. They're going to wonder where we were. We start to pay our bill, and I guess someone just felt sorry for us. Because the waitress said, it's been taken care of. So it was just such a special time, and I think it's a day that neither one of us will ever forget, because for the first time we were able to share our hearts with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we both started attending Blue Ridge View Baptist Church around the same time. It's been 27 years ago, and you and your family grew up with my husband, Scott.
Yes.
Marie's baby sister was my husband's first girlfriend, I think in kindergarten, yeah. Right? Something like that.
We were at Travelers Rest Elementary then.
Okay.
Yeah. That's awesome. Scott gave her her first box of Valentine candy.
Oh, sweet Sonia. I'm glad I got him, Sonia. Sorry. You got a good one, though. Marie does Grace in the Wilderness with me. We began that in 2008. But before that, Marie has a wilderness situation. Would you like to share about that?
Sure. In 2005, July 1st, our house was kind of full of kids. My son, Josh, was 20 years old and had a bunch of friends over at the pool, and they were just enjoying the 4th of July weekend. And he called me about 10 o'clock. My husband and I had went in to go to bed. And Josh called and said, Mom, I just wanted to call and tell you goodnight. And I said, but you're gonna be here, right? You're not going anywhere. And he said, no, I'm not going anywhere. He said, but I knew that you would be going to bed, and I just wanted to tell you goodnight, and I love you. And I said, okay, honey, I love you too. And he hung up the phone, and about 5 after 11, our daughter came running in our bedroom, crying, had a phone in her hand. She said, Mom, you didn't answer your phone. And I didn't hear it, but she did. And there was a girl on the other line that said Josh had been in a serious car accident. We didn't know where he was, where the accident was. All we knew is that we had to get to him. She said it was near our house, and unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not really sure, we ended up going the opposite direction. When we got there, all the roads around our house had been blocked off. So we knew things were not good. And an ambulance pulled up. So we think that they're coming to get Josh. And about that time, a little white-haired man got out and told us that he needed for us to come and get in the ambulance. And our sweet youth pastor and our pastor at the time, Buckshot Avant and Stuart Houston, got in there with us. And the man's jacket had Coroner on it.
Marie.
And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget when he told us that Josh had passed away. And I remember Allie, our daughter, saying, "Are we going to the hospital? Did they take Josh to the hospital?" I think all of us were kind of in shock. And they said no, that they had taken him straight to the mortuary. And our family, that I felt like we were kind of the all-American family. We had two kids, a boy and a girl. Joel and I were high school sweethearts. We had lived our life, what I thought was, you know, the all-American dream. And suddenly our life was shattered. We had no idea what we were supposed to do, where we were supposed to go. But I remember going to the mortuary that morning. They called and said that we could see him. And it was like reality hit us that he wasn't coming home. And I remember that being in such a place that we were like we were in a nightmare and couldn't get out of it. And the day of his funeral, which was July the 4th, it was so hot. I remember you couldn't catch your breath when you were outside.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, you were there
that day.
Yeah. And it was just so hot. And I remember I'm doing the graveside service. And all of a sudden I panicked. And all these people were around. And I was thinking, I can't do this with all these people here. But I remember looking at his casket and thinking, I can't leave my baby here. But all of a sudden, the coolest breeze blew, and I felt it through my whole body. And it was like he was telling me, "Mama, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm not here. This is just my body." And I remember being able to get up and walk to that car with my daughter and with my husband. And I didn't say anything to anybody because I knew that people would probably say, "Yeah, that's just, you know, that was a coincidence, you know." And I wasn't sure whether people would believe me, you know, you do that. And so it was probably weeks later, and I was talking to Buckshot, which at that time was the youth pastor at our church. And I was telling him what I had felt, and he just kind of took a deep breath, and he said, "Marie, I didn't say anything about that, but I felt it too." And I knew that was my reassurance that God was there, and that was when he showed me that he was so real and that he had my baby in his arms. That was just the beginning of our journey, just the beginning of realizing that our new normal, you know, there is no such thing, but that's what people say, is you have to begin a new normal. And it was like we were living in this, you know, we were functioning, but yet we weren't functioning. We were kind of just going through the motions. Joel and Allie and I were kind of just living our own lives. We were in the same house, but yet we were struggling to just get through a day. And Allie was only 14 years old. She was getting ready to start her freshman year of high school. And I remember taking her to the doctor, and the doctor said, "This could not have happened at a worse time for her, because this is a time where she's starting to become her own person, going into high school. She's becoming a young woman. She will be making her own decisions. She will be surrounded by other people that are not all going to be there to nurture her and love on her." So that was another concern for me.
During that time, there weren't a lot of other mothers who understood.
No.
And later on, and we'll share about that, but that's part of what encouraged you to start In Grace in the Wilderness, our working with all the other moms. And now we have that network that's almost 400 people.
Yeah.
Which is amazing how God takes something so hard and he turns that. He's comforted you, and you have comforted so many people. There's been so many people, y'all, that when they've lost children, Marie and Joel, with their broken hearts, have gone and stood at that front door and been there for them. I couldn't even count the people. Scott and I were two of them. And next year will be 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years.
And it still hurts, doesn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Some days it feels like it's been forever since I heard his voice, since he's come in and hugged me and told me that he loved me. And then some days it feels like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And I miss him. If I allow myself, I can go back there and the pain will be just as raw.
Yeah.
But then I try to remind myself that I know where he is. He's safe in the arms of God. I know that we're not separated forever, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be with him one day. And when I'm with him, it will be as if we've never been separated.
And that grace is something that you can't even really describe.
No.
Our Grace in the Wilderness support group is filled with so many moms that have lost their children. That group is about 16 years old. I worked as an administrator in helping that group, and we started our conferences years ago for moms who've lost children. But I was the only one who had not lost a child. And this November will be 3 years since I lost my Bradley, and I joined this group that no mom wants to be a part of. Marie, can you share about how things first started with your ministering to other women?
It actually came from someone else calling me and saying, Marie, would you please go and visit with my cousin? Their son was killed last night, and he was actually in Allie's class. So I knew about it, but I didn't know her connection with this family. I was taken back because I was thinking, Joel and I can't do that. We're not going to help this family. How can we help this family? We're still struggling to get through a day ourselves. And she said, please, please, they just need to see how someone's going to survive. They need to have hope. They have no hope right now. And I said, but I get that. I understand that. So finally, she convinced me to go and visit with them. And Joel and I went to see this family. Of course, we were broken, and pretty much all we could do was cry with them.
Mm-hmm.
We cried and we talked about our kids. We left there with our hearts broken because we knew how our journey began. And we knew what they were going to have to go through.
Right. And every time you share that, even 20 years later, it takes you right back to that very minute.
I know
that from my sharing with other
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, but it's something that God has equipped you and called you to do. And it's amazing because it's truly only His grace.
Absolutely.
Remember when I lost Bradley, thinking, how in the world can I live in a world where there is no Bradley? And there's so many women that are just hopeless from that. And if they don't have God, there's just no anchor to tie them down and for them to be grounded in
Him. Right. And I can't imagine this journey without Him.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. I know the week before Josh died, God woke me up in the middle of the night. And I didn't understand why. It was on the Friday, exactly a week before Josh died. He gave me this verse. And people who know me know this verse.
I
talk about it all the time.
Yep.
And I say, this is my life verse. So I made my husband get up and I was like, you know, God's never spoke to me like this mm-hmm. before. I need for us to find this Bible verse. Of course, I'm thinking in my mind, is He really speaking to me? Where is this coming from? It's just kind of all, I'm questioning myself, but,
yeah.
I go and find this verse. It never left my mind. So after Josh died, that verse was there. I started telling people, this is what God gave me. I don't understand how could He possibly think that anything good could come out of this. How could we go forward and be able to do something that was going to make this real to us, that God shows us how He's going to use it and bring good out of it? But it was Romans 8:28. All things work for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Again, I didn't understand it. It took me a while because then, I went through this struggle back and forth with God, being a little bit angry, and I know anybody who's gone through this totally understands that. You can't come through this thinking, okay, it's all going to be okay. God has my child. It's going to be okay. You go through emotions that you would never imagine. You have good days and you have bad days, not really good days, days that you can kind of function.
Mm-hmm.
And yet then you have these horrible days to where you feel like you can't get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so my emotions were kind of all over the place. So going back to this family that we went and saw, that's what I tried to express to them. God gave me this verse, and that's what gets me through the day.
Mm-hmm.
I have to believe that he was going to bring something good out of that. So through that family, we kept going to see them, and they would call and ask us. And her dad called me one day, and he said, "Marie, I have to tell you something." And I said, "What is it?" He said, and he was crying. And he said, "You have no idea how much I appreciate you coming to my baby and trying to help her." And he said, "You have made such a difference."
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, how could I possibly have helped her? Because all I did was cry with her. He said, "She saw that here you were a year out and you survived." And that gave her hope. So then it was like God's showing me, okay, there are going to be little things where he's going to be able to use our story, maybe to encourage another family. So we invited them to come to our house. Joel and I decided that we would just have them there, try to pour into them, not really, you know, try to do anything, but have them for dinner. Let us just fix dinner for you. Let us just encourage you. They had a young son at the time, so kind of our stories were parallel to each other. So she would come to our house. Sometimes we would meet for lunch, you know, and we would just try to encourage each other. I got comfort from her too.
Right. I was going to say, that's the magic sometimes in our ministries, and we have all these different support groups. It's you give them Jesus. He works for everything. But then you give them each other. And all you really have to do is have a table and have a group of women who are going through that same thing, and they minister to each other. There is something about being with someone who understands, because nobody understands like someone who is walking it.
I've told many people that there's no possible way anybody can understand this journey unless they've walked it. Because there are all kinds of words. We've talked about this so many times in the ministry, right. You know, where parents pass away and a child to be an orphan, or a spouse to pass away and you're a widow or a widower. But there is no word for a parent who has lost a child, because I feel like that is the most unnatural, painful thing that a person can go through. So going back to our group, I would hear of another family, and somebody would call me and say, "Can you please reach out to this person? Can you please reach out to this person?" And it grew to the point that I have a table that seats 10, and we had a table full, and we were having to add chairs, bring chairs in. And I looked around one day, and I was like, okay, God, maybe this is a way that I can bring some sort of hope to these other women. They're helping me, but hopefully I'm going to be able to help them by simply sharing Jesus with them and what he had done with us, and that we were surviving.
God was doing a work in your heart in ministry through all this.
Yes, he was.
And in 2008, God was working in my heart as well. And I went to Proverbs 31, She Speaks. The Lord was telling me that he wanted me to begin a ministry. Through that weekend, it was incredible, the time that I spent with him. Marie was supposed to be on that trip with me, and it was right after my mother had died, and something came up with Marie's family. She wasn't able to go. And the Holy Spirit, you know, he's really pushy, and he said, he said, "Go on." And I know that he just wanted to get me alone to help me. I was at a place in my life where I was just really seeking and so broken because I'd lost my mom. But I felt that there was a stirring in my heart to start a ministry. I named the ministry Grace in the Wilderness. I knew that he was calling me to write. And the ministry began with a women's newsletter. And soon I was asking other women to write as well. And Marie had done some conferences at Blue Ridge View. So with the support of our pastor, we began doing conferences. We had Sherry Brendel come from Proverbs 31. So we decided, hey, while we have her here, the expense won't be any more for us to have her do a session for the teen girls.
Right.
So that's where Empowered Jesus Girl grew out of that first conference. We did women's conferences for years. And then we realized we were competing with a lot of other Women of Joy, Extraordinary Women, women's conferences, to name a few. the very first conference that we did for special interests was for moms who've lost children. Marie and I talked about that, and that was back in 2008.
And I just felt like we decided to do it near Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was what God was telling me to do. Because as a mom, I knew that Christmas is a time where families come together and they're celebrating and you have presents and, you know, families coming over and you have dinner and all these things. But for moms who have lost children, I knew that that was a very tender time. Mm-hmm. It hurt so bad to see sometimes these other families celebrating and knowing that our lives mm-hmm. were completely different. Because for a long time, we couldn't celebrate holidays at home. We would go to the beach or, you know, something because it was too painful. And that first year, my mom came in and she said, "You got to put up a Christmas tree." And I said, "I didn't want to put up a Christmas tree," because that was something Josh loved to do. She put it up, and then I was so glad that she did, you know, because I could sit and look at it and cry a lot, but, you know, sat and looked at it. But when we planned the brunch, I knew that we had to do it at Christmas mm-hmm. because that was a day that we didn't have to sit and pretend that everything was okay and smile and, you know, all the things that you do with families. Right. I knew that that was a day that we could celebrate our child who would no longer be here to celebrate Christmases with us. Right. And so that's why it was so important to me to do it at that particular time.
Right. And we still do that mm-hmm. Early in December. And I think for me as a mom who's lost a child, it's so important that it's almost like I take that time out to give Bradley.
That's right.
His due, mm-hmm. his place in my life for the That's Christmas right. season.
That's right.
And I would just be, it's so hard without him, but I feel like it makes him part of Christmas mm-hmm. and it gives me a chance to celebrate him.
That's right.
With other women that also are going through the same thing. And that's just right. a beautiful thing.
That's right. Because those women who were in that brunch, they know how you feel.
That's right.
And so where other people
don't.
No, they can sympathize with you. But like you and I've talked about so many times, there is such a difference between empathy and sympathy.
Yes.
And so those people, I could look out there and think they understand it. Mm-hmm. They get it. Mm-hmm. And what the first brunch, what I wanted to do is I wanted to give it a name, and a name that represented Josh. And it was a way for me to keep his memory alive. Mm-hmm. And so I named it Joshua's Hope. Mm-hmm. And you were so gracious to say, absolutely, just run with that. Yeah. And so it's still called that. Because I believe with all my heart that that would be his hope.
Right.
That our family and other families would be out trying to give people hope.
Right.
You know, and I remember looking at these moms and trying to encourage them. Some of them, it was very raw. Some of them had been on this journey for a while. Mm-hmm. But at times we have had moms come in that it had been a matter of weeks, like with you. Mm-hmm. Like with some of the other moms. And so it was very important to me to go in and celebrate Josh. Yeah. And again, here we are back with their names.
Right.
For us as moms and for us as families, for, you know, our husbands and our children, it means more than anything to hear our child's name said. Right. Don't back away. Don't, you know, pretend that it didn't happen. One of the worst things I remember feeling is that I went into a grocery store one day and someone that I knew, not close friends, but someone that I knew saw me and I saw the look on their face and they turned and went down another aisle. And I know that it was because they didn't know what to say, but at the same time, that was so hurtful and painful to me. Because for some, you know, some people, they think that, well, if I don't say anything, you know, then she won't think about it. Do you think it ever leaves our mind? Sharon,
No.
And it makes us feel good to know that they're remembered.
That's right. And this, I think this would be a great, important topic for us to discuss here, to help equip people with what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was in this group for 14 years before I lost my son. And I looked at these women with awe and wonder. How do you get out of bed every morning mm-hmm. after you've lost a child? And to me, it was just seeing Jesus through people just in the most amazing way.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been some people that have said some very, they mean well.
They do.
But they say things that really are hurtful. When we first started our ministry, I asked God, I said, you know, I'm not equipped to work with moms who've lost children. And one day I was praying, and that's when he said, give them Jesus. He works for everything.
That's right.
And so my advice for trying to help someone who's lost a child, if you don't understand, is for you to just be there. Your presence mm. is our presence.
That's right.
And it's a big black hole. And sometimes all we need is for somebody to just come and put their arm around you and just look in that hole with you.
That's right.
And to say, I don't understand, but I am here and I can pray for you. And if you need anything, I'll do your laundry. I'll do
and I had people
know,
doing
acts
that.
Of service
exactly.
for someone, especially. And I'm not saying now. Okay, I'm not asking everybody to come do my laundry. But in those very early days when it's so raw, just not trying to fix it, just be there.
That's right.
Just be there.
That's right. I had people show up at my house with food. They would say, I'm not staying. I just want you to know we love you. You don't have to entertain us. Just here it is. And I remember thinking, that's the sweetest thing ever. Mm-hmm. I can't even cook for my family. I could not focus on a meal long enough to even get in there and do it. So it had become, you know, where we were just eating, you know, sandwiches, or I'd pick things up, things like that. So for somebody to bring a meal was a big deal.
Oh, definitely.
It was a big deal. And I had a friend, a dear, sweet friend, and she would call me and she said, I want you to go outside. I want you to sit on the swing and just relax, and I'm coming to clean your house. And I was like, oh, no, you don't have to do that. You know, please don't do that.
Is that and, Pammy?
Yeah.
Our sweet Pammy Smith, who has since passed on.
Yeah. And she showed up. My mama will never, ever forget it. Mama talked about it all the time. Mm-hmm. Other people noticed these same things.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pam showed up with three or four ladies from our church with mop buckets and brooms and cleaning supplies and cleaned my whole house and washed clothes. And she didn't want me to say a word. She said, you don't have to entertain me. I just want to do this for you. And my mama even talked about that because she said, I've never seen anything like that.
That's Jesus.
That is
That's
Jesus.
That's giving them Jesus.
That
he works
Jesus.
For everything.
That's exactly right. And I talk about my mom because my mom lived with us. We have an attached apartment to our house. And she and my stepfather lived with us. So they were right there. And they saw Jesus work in a mighty and powerful way. Because people were just, like you said, there's no words. There's nothing that they can do to make that pain go away or ease that rawness. But showing up, mentioning Josh, you know, Marie, I remember when Josh did this. Or I had a lady from church and she constantly reminded me. She walked a lot in our neighborhood. Well, we don't really live in a neighborhood, but you know where we live, the roads around us.
Yeah.
And she constantly reminded me that every day when she would be walking, that Josh would go by, beep the horn at her, and wave at her out the window. That doesn't sound like a lot to some people, but to me, that meant so much.
Oh, that's so big.
It is.
And I'm still, after almost 3 years, getting pictures. Somebody
exactly.
will just say, oh, I found this old picture in my memories and Facebook and just send me something.
Oh.
And if it's something I've never seen, a picture of Bradley, it's like having more of him.
That's
it's
right.
like a Christmas present.
It's priceless.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no words or nothing that can That's you know, right. like we talk about, there are things now that mean more than anything.
Oh, yeah.
Anything. Mm-hmm. And to hear somebody come up and say, I got a Josh story to tell you. Josh did this or did that. And
oh, and it's like, turn my phone on. It's like, turn my phone on. I got to record this so I go back and listen to it. Please.
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't want to forget.
Right.
You know, because those are things that mean more than anything.
Mm-hmm. They say there are two deaths. One is when you lose a loved one, and the other is when their name's never mentioned.
That's exactly right.
And that is one thing. Let me tell you that the ladies, these mamas work so hard mm-hmm. to keep their children's names out there.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And that was, one of my main reasons for starting Joshua's Hope.
That's right.
And that brunch for these mamas. Because mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I want to hear about your child. Mm-hmm. You share them with me. I want to hear those stories.
I have rocks. In fact, I've got a jar over here on the counter. I have rocks that I put the YouTube Celebration of Life for Bradley Hawkins on. And when I hike or go out to places, I'll just leave those rocks all over.
Oh, yeah.
We went out to California, and I took about 30 of them, and I put them all over the Sierra Mountains and then the Grand Canyon and different places. And then we do the fundraiser in his name at Aunt Sue's for Fair Play. Right. And we're looking to do a disc golf tournament at Haygood Mill where he built the golf course. So the first nine holes. It just means so much.
It does.
Things that they care about, and you invest in that.
Exactly. And, you know, of course, family and friends, they're there. And again, just showing up and mm-hmm. being there. You know, my sister was there and spent, many nights there with us. And mm-hmm. the people that poured into my daughter mm-hmm. and poured into my husband. You know, Joel just really, really struggled. And he didn't want to get out of bed and, would come home from work and want to go to bed. And we had a dear friend that just showed up. He said, you know what? You're not just going to lay there in bed. I don't care if you talk, but I'm going to bring wings on Monday night and we're going to watch football. And
that's
you don't have to say a word.
That
is a guy thing. But you know what? That's priceless to us.
Your presence is my
exactly.
presence.
Exactly.
It just is.
And because I had to leave on Monday nights, Allie had dance, and I knew that was going to be a hard time for Joel to be alone. And so that was the biggest gift ever. Mm-hmm. And Joey Gillespie he told us that when Josh died, that God told him, stand in the gap. And that's what he did for Joel. And what was so crazy, I was doing this with these moms. Well, people started coming on Monday nights. And we had like 8 or 10 guys show up every Monday night. And they would have wings. They would watch football. And just to be there. And it was crazy because a lot of those men, out of that, went into the ministry.
Oh, yeah.
And so, to me, I look back and I think, okay, God, once again, you're showing me that you're going to bring something good out of losing Josh.
That's right. It's amazing how he's worked and all that.
Some of the wonderful things are people sending a card, remembering his birthday, remembering the anniversary, mm-hmm. Of the accident, because that's a time, again, that is so tender for us. Because it takes you back. What was I doing at this time of the day? What was he saying? There's a story Wednesday night before the accident. We were standing in the kitchen. I know exactly where we were all standing. It was Joel, Allie, and Josh and I. And I was standing at the sink, and he comes up behind me and he wraps his arms around me. Josh was a hugger. So that's another thing.
Yeah.
If he walked into a room, doesn't matter who they were, he's going around hugging everybody. Mm-hmm. He just had that personality of being bigger than life. Was he perfect? No. But he had that gift.
Yeah.
And so he came up behind me and he just hugged me. And I'll never forget that night, because he was telling me in that very moment that God was real. He reminded me that God was real in his life. And what a gift is that?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that was two nights before.
And that helps you to know where he is.
Exactly. Exactly. I remember questioning him at different times in his life, you know, when he would be going through a rough time or whatever. And I remember questioning, Josh, are you sure? Are you sure that you've been saved? And he'd say, Mama, I am absolutely sure. And I was like, okay, you know, then that's okay. That's all I needed.
It is all. It is everything.
It's everything.
That's the thing with Bradley. Several mornings after he passed, I woke up and I was praying. The Holy Spirit was talking to me. We were already. I was praying. And one morning he said, you know, Bradley hasn't lost a thing. And I was like, okay, how, explain that to me. And the Holy Spirit said, eternity is forever and you cannot take away from it and you cannot add to it. And that was an unbelievable blessing to me.
Absolutely.
Because you think, okay, well, but he's died at 21, so he's lost that time here on earth. And where are my grandchildren? But they weren't meant to be. God is sovereign, and it is as it was meant to be. And that goes back to your all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say all good things.
No.
It says all things.
All things.
And the word bad, you could say all bad things. That doesn't even begin to describe what it's like when you lose your baby.
No, no.
Because you have losses on and on. You lose
exactly
every time a friend gets married or a sibling has a child. I was just at a birthday party yesterday of my sweet granddaughter. She's a year old today. And Bradley wasn't there, and he's never met her. And that black hole is always there.
Always.
But God's grace is enough to bridge even that black hole.
Yep.
And thank God that's not the end of it. We have eternity.
That's right. And that's what we have to focus on, because I remember when Allie turned 21. And a lot of people wouldn't even think anything about that. Mm-hmm. But I looked at that and thought, she's older than Josh ever was.
Yes, that's right.
And, you know, then they have their 30th birthday and whatever. And then when Allie has her first child, my grandbaby, Brody was everything. And I remember looking at him and knowing that we would never have that with Josh, which made it even more precious to me and to my husband. And Brody was just a saving grace for Joel. I mean, it gave us a whole new perspective on life. Mm-hmm. We knew that we were going to get to see a whole new perspective because we would get to watch our grandchildren grow up. And it was just such a special time. I don't think people could understand those things and how much they mean to us, how precious they are now.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's this year, again, Josh would be 40 years old coming up this week.
Wow, that's right. September 28th.
September 28th. So I saw all his friends on Facebook. They're all having their 40th birthdays. And it hit me. Again, that's a big birthday.
Yep, it is.
And I'm thinking, we don't get to celebrate that with him. And I see them all having children. I love these kids. And I love that some of them still reach out to us. And it is just precious that they do. And I see their kids, and I can't help but hurt thinking that we won't get that with Josh.
Right.
But we've got two beautiful grandchildren, and Brody and Andy Kate are our lives, just like what you've got. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it makes them even more special, I think. Now, of course, I don't have anything of gauging it to, but, you know, my grandchildren are great.
Mine too.
I just think they're the most special kids in the world.
And one thing that comforts me when I go there is to try to focus on what I had and not what I've lost.
That's exactly right.
But also, more than that, heaven has become so much sweeter, hasn't it?
Yes.
And now that your mom and dad are there, and my mom and dad are there, and I just lost my precious mother-in-law 2 weeks ago today, and I was in the room with her, and that fresh wind that came through. I felt it when Jesus came and took her. It's very real.
It is. It gives me cold chills just thinking about it.
It's very real to be in the room with the whole, with Jesus when he comes for a loved one.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
And so I think that you and I both have experienced some of the same things. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why we can encourage each other. And sometimes we laugh at things and people look at us and they're like, oh my goodness, they're laughing at that. But you know what? It's because we know and we have the same feelings, and we know that it's okay sometimes to laugh about, you know, our stories or sharing some of the crazy things our kids did. And I talked to another mom recently and I told her she's just lost her son. And it just breaks my heart, you know, because I see her and I see in those eyes, I see that loss and that pain. Now we recognize it. Mm-hmm. And I just remember hugging her at church a couple Sundays ago and just, she was crying. And I said, Debbie, the one thing that I can tell you that I try to focus on now is not that there's another day without him. I try to remember that I'm one day closer to being with him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I had a friend when all this first happened, and they told me when I was struggling with, you know, the first thing I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven is, why did you have to take my son? You know, why? Why do you think that there's going to be good things come out of this? You know what? For me, I'm thinking that's, it's the worst thing in the world. And he told me the day that I was talking about that, and he said, Marie, you won't have to ask God why he took your son. He said, when you get there and you're with him, all that's going to go away.
And you got eternity.
That's right.
And you can't add to it or take away from it.
That's right. And he said, I believe that Jesus is going to open his arms, and there's going to be people there who are going to say, you know what? Josh made a difference in my life. Mm-hmm. Your family made a difference in my life. Again, there's nothing special about us. I feel like what we went through is something that nobody would want. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Me either.
Because it is something that words can't describe.
Right. And there's no escape from it ever.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, after 20 years. It's a constant thing. It's not one day that goes by that you don't think of it. And for people who haven't lost a child, I think that's just probably a very foreign thought. Mm-hmm. They can't even imagine. Well, you just need to get over it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times do you hear that?
Oh, my.
It's different. I've lost my mom and my dad. I know they're in heaven. It was the natural order, the natural order of things that they went when they did. But because I've lost my son, it's just changed so much. It's changed who I am.
Exactly.
God has used that, and in some ways, he's made me a better person.
Exactly.
Because he has softened my compassion for other people, and.
And we're different people now.
We are.
We're not the same person
anymore.
And there
is no new normal.
No.
It's just you are changed. And it is because the sovereign God has a plan in our lives. And sometimes it's not all the good things that work together. Sometimes it's all the really hard things, too.
That's right. That's right.
And so.
And, you know, you and I have talked about this so many times. The things, we're going back to the things that people say.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people are thinking, okay, 19 years is a long time. Surely they're past this now. No. That never goes away.
No.
Our children are our heart.
Mm.
You know, they come from a place that no one else can feel. There, you know, there is a hole in our heart that will never be filled until the day we're with them again.
I have never seen a bereaved mom go to glory that wasn't brokenhearted for that child and longing to go and embrace them.
I know. My mom just passed away 2 years ago, and she kept telling me when we were in the hospital and she had gotten put on hospice, and she told me, she said, Marie, don't you cry for me. don't you be sad for me. Of course, you know, you can't help it. And I'm crying the whole time. And she said, because I am going to be with Jesus and I am going to see Josh.
Yes. And she and your dad and Dub and all of them are there.
Yep.
And that circle, the bigger it gets, the more I want to go.
Oh, my goodness. I'll say, you know, I wake up every day saying, God, it'd be okay if you come today. It's okay with me.
But he's got work for us to do here.
That's right.
And along those lines, our brunch will be the second Saturday in December from 9 to 1:30. And so if you'd like information about that, please check out our Facebook group, and I will link that in the notes so you can find us. It's a private group, so we approve any people that are added so that we make sure that it is just moms who've lost children and not other people. So we'd love to have you as part of our group. I certainly cannot leave out two other precious moms come alongside us and who have started this ministry out of Grace in the Wilderness called Grace Girls. And that's when the ministry really blew up. It's Kathy Elrod and Lori Worley. And they began that ministry in 2014. We meet every couple of months or so, usually in a restaurant or in some setting in the Pickens County, the Easley area. So we would love, if you're a bereaved mom, we'd love for you to come and join us. We also want to thank Diane Moore, who does the blogs for the ministry. Information about the blogs is also found on our Facebook page. Diane does a wonderful job of sharing her heart as a mom who's lost her son, Josiah. And the other part of what I was going to say about Grace in the Wilderness, we started Grace in the Wilderness. The Lord led me to start doing newsletters. So we started newsletters, then that changed to my blog, and now changed to a podcast over the 16 years. But also, through those years, we've worked together in other ministries. There's a ministry for cancer patients. There's one for special needs moms. These are all support groups. Widows. I know I'm going to leave some out. We have a new prison ministry called Love Through the Fences. We have a caregivers group called Wings of Hope. And a large part of it, as I said, is giving them Jesus, keep making sure you keep him at the core, helping them focus on the hope that's there, but giving women each other. So if you're going through a difficult wilderness situation, we strongly encourage, because it's really helped us, seek another woman who understands what you're going through. Yeah. And if there's not a group, just get together with her, and you never know what God's going to do about growing and helping you. When two people who have gone through the same thing are comforting each other and God comes alongside that, there's no end to what God can do in that ministry to help other people.
That's right.
God has, in so many ways, just poured his grace in the wilderness in both of our lives. And this is just the first episode of many with Marie. She has so many stories of how God has been so real. And so I'm so excited to be sharing them in the times to come. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Yeah,
I love you. You're one of my dearest friends.
I love you too.
I'm so excited for what God's done through Grace in the Wilderness and what he's going to continue to do through our ministry.
Me too. Thank you.
We just pray for all of you out there. Always look first to God if you're in the wilderness, because he is our only hope. And if we can ever help you, please reach out to us. Our website for Grace in the Wilderness is wildernessgrace.org, or you may reach me at sharonhawkins.net. God bless you, and may you always find God's grace in the wilderness. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust him, and may his river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.